Well, we're going to read today, continuing in Luke 22, and we're going to read from verse 39 up until verse 53. I'll read it through first time. Would anybody love to read it through a second time, a different voice, a different emphasis? Dawn, is that you? Yep. Lovely. Okay. Jesus prays on the Mount of Olives. So yesterday, we celebrated, we remembered the Last Supper, and today we're moving out onto the Mount of Olives. So after the supper, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." And as Sean reads it again for us, let us be particularly listening for those things that jump out at us as we read this passage again. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Then he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And while he was still speaking, a crowd came up. And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have to come with the swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you didn't lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns."
Thanks so much, Sean. Should we just take another 30 seconds or so just to ponder those words, to perhaps scan it again, read it again, identify those things that particularly leapt out at you. Then I'll share a thought, and then we can share together what those other thoughts may have been. Jesus began his work knowing that he would be killed as a sacrifice. For he knew at the beginning of his ministry, when John baptized him, that he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus would have known what was involved in that. There's a man. He left Galilee and went to Jerusalem, resolute, determined, never wavering, never faltering. But now he'd come to the end of his journey, end of that journey. And there before him stood the ghastly cross, the prospect of the ghastly cross. He knew that he was not only called to die a physical death, which would be painful enough, but more importantly, that he was also required to die a spiritual death, which meant also separation from his Father, the ultimate sacrifice for this God-man who had never known sin. Jesus knew that he was required to take on the punishment of humanity's sin, which required separation from his Father, who could not share in sin, and descend into the depths of hell to destroy the power of Satan. This was such an horrific idea that it caused even the Son of God to ask the question, Lord, if there is any way this cup can be taken from me, then please take it from me. As the 2 or 3 hours of fervent prayer in the garden passed, his agony and resolve made him sweat so that it seemed he was sweating drops of blood. He was in deep, deep anguish. It is noteworthy that Jesus could have taken a 15-minute walk eastward from the garden over the top of the Mount of Olives and vanished into the Judean desert. However, Jesus knew that there was no other way. He alone was the way. His task was clear. He alone could pay the penalty of our sin. He alone could conquer both the cause of death, sin, and death itself, so that all of humankind could be reunited with God. So in loving obedience to the Father, Jesus chose not to flee away, but to stay. Yet not my will, but yours be done, he said. And isn't it wonderful that God, out of his love and kindness, sent an angel to him to minister to him strength and assurance. And the Bible says he was strengthened. Not only was Jesus contending with the anguish of what was about to happen, he also suffered the disappointment of those closest to him falling asleep when he had commanded them to watch and pray. And to compound that disappointment and sadness, another one of the 12, Judas, was on his way to betray him into the hands of the religious leaders. It's interesting to note in the text that Luke couldn't even bring himself to describe Judas as a disciple. And he just wrote, the man who was called Judas, one of the 12. Judas brought with him a crowd, verse 47. As we said yesterday, this was not the crowd who sang hosannas just a few days before. This was not the crowd who sat at Jesus' feet each day in the temple courtyards. This was the crowd who were always in opposition to Jesus, who were part of the religious elite, including the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, the elders of Israel, and numerous others, including their servants. It was this crowd who the next day would cry out, crucify him. But even in this moment, there was no anger or hatred in Jesus' heart. One of Jesus' followers struck one of the high priest's servants with a sword and cut off his ear. But Jesus touched the man's ear and healed him. I don't think our human minds can fully comprehend the immensity of the task Jesus took on and the full extent of his loving sacrifice. We simply know that it was to save us, and that Jesus' suffering is the most blessed influence the world has ever known. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. Hallelujah. What a saviour.